Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's topic is correcting muscular imbalances. So recently someone asked for this topic, and they wanted it to be related to squat, bench, and deadlift. However, I thought it'd be helpful to kind of relate this information to kind of all lifts or all scenarios. So generally, if you're trying to balance out muscular imbalances, and this is in regards to something being different from the left to the right, and that's going to be typical where you'd see it in, like, maybe in squats, like as they go down and back up, maybe they shift into like their left leg, or they shift into their right leg, you know, as they're going down and up. Maybe in deadlifts, sometimes you'll see it. It's more so technique in their lat tightness, but sometimes you'll see people what's called helicoptering the bar, where they'll deadlift the bar, and then all of a sudden the right side of the bar kind of pulls in close to them as the left side of the bar kind of wings out in front of them, so it kind of gets crooked. Or you'll see it in the bench press, where somebody kind of, like, they're pressing, and they'll either, like, tilt to one side, or they'll just kind of report feeling that the one side felt weaker than the other. So if you're feeling one side feeling weaker than the other, this kind of stuff is designed to help that. So what your focus is going to be is on generally having unilateral movements. So exercises where you're working one side of the body free or independent of the other. So for example, if you're benching with a barbell, maybe one side, like if you're doing a bench press, so with a bar, maybe your left arm's a little bit stronger. So your body can kind of favor into that left arm a little bit. It tilts the bar, tilts your body, tilts everything a little bit into that left arm, and the left arm is maybe lifting 55% of the weight, whereas the right arm is only lifting 45%. Or you think of a leg press, for example, that'd be an even more exaggerated one, is you can easily take over, like, say, 60% of the weight on a strong leg and only leave 40% of the weight for a weaker leg. So instead of that, instead of doing movements where a strong side can make up for a weak side, we want to do movements where the limbs are independent, meaning that each limb is 100% responsible for its own weight. And examples of this, if I want to work on, say, my thighs and hips for, like, say, squats, I would look at Bulgarian split squats, which would be your back foot is elevated on something, you're in a lunge position and you're squatting with either dumbbells or a barbell on your back, but you're doing a kind of lunge position squat. And that's going to make that front leg do a lot of work, including the hip. So the bracing of the hip as well as the thigh and the bracing of the knee. Then you also have single leg presses. Those obviously work a single leg. And then walking lunges are really good for that, whether it's dumbbells or barbells. But basically in those positions, each limb has to do its own job. So you can't compensate one for the other. If you think of hamstrings, for example, to help your deadlift, you might just do single leg, you know, hamstring curls or single leg stiff leg deadlifts. If you want to get your lats, so say you have the helicoptering of the barbell with deadlifts, first of all, you want to work on more on technique. So think of really pinching your armpits down while you deadlift. And part of that can be helped is if you have bands at your gym, you can attach bands actually from the front side of the bar. So we'll actually use dumbbells, or we have squat racks that have a lot of capabilities to them with different band pegs and whatnot. But essentially, you'll attach bands to the bar or your wrists from the front. And then as you go to deadlift, the bands are going to try to pull the bar away from you. So you have to kind of pull the bar towards you, and that can teach you to keep your lats tight and keep your body, the bar closer to your body. And then also you can do, you know, straight arm pull downs with a cable, or you can do dumbbell pullovers, really anything that works your lats. And then if you think of bench press, if you have like a difference in your triceps, you can do like dumbbell or cable single arm work. So dumbbell one arm skull crushers, or you can do, you know, two arms at the same time with dumbbells. But you wouldn't want to use like an easy curl bar, for example, because now both arms are kind of connected. So you want to do movements where each arm is different than the other. So dumbbell skull crushers are great. You can do one arm cable press downs of a bunch of different hand angles. So underhand, neutral, overhand. Try to find where the weakness is. So if you know one side's weaker than the other, maybe they're very similar at an overhand press down, but they're really different at an underhand press down. So that would help you identify where the difference is in strength, and then you would want to work that underhand if that was the weaker or the bigger discrepancy of the two grips. And then also for chest, if you want to build your chest up equal, so maybe you have a pec tear or a pec injury on one side, You can do dumbbell or cable flies. You can do one-arm flies if you want. But with dumbbells or cables, they're pretty much independent anyhow. So you'd want to kind of focus in on the chest by doing some type of fly. And again, something where one arm has to move separate or individually than the other. So typically it's best to put these kind of exercises in after your main lift. So if you are doing squat, bench, and deadlift, you would want to do this stuff after the squat, bench, and the deadlift. Okay? So sometimes you can do it beforehand to work on kind of mind-muscle connection. So maybe I want to involve my chest more in my bench presses, but I have a hard time feeling it. Well, I can maybe do some high rep sets and really pump up my chest doing chest flies. And then whenever I go do barbell bench, I should be able to feel my chest even better. So another example might be hamstring curls before you go do deadlifts or squats, especially deadlifts. It might help you feel your hamstrings a little bit more whenever you go through those lifts. Now, a lot of that is going to be dependent on your technique. So maybe you just deadlift off your toes and that's why you can't feel your hamstrings. Or you just, without using your chest, maybe you kind of push your shoulder blades apart as you press up and you over rely on your front delts. So some of that stuff can't be corrected by just doing a certain exercise before the big one. So you have to look at your technique and make sure that's on point first. And I'd almost guarantee you that your technique is not perfect, because there are people who are, you know, in the sport of powerlifting, for example, where all they do is squat, bench, and deadlift, and they can be 10 years in the sport and still working on correcting their technique. So there's always something to work on. So you should definitely be working on technique at the same time you're looking to kind of develop and address any physical issues as well. So the main lift, if that's something that, like, maybe you're coming back from an injury and the main lift is really weird. So, for example, I had to get metal plates put in my collarbone. And I remember when I came back from that surgery, when I closed my eyes and went to extend my arms to bench press, for example, my right arm would not extend as far as my left. They had to cut through my front delt to put the plates in. So my front delt on my right side is actually numb. I can't feel it. So you can stab me and I wouldn't feel it. So thankfully it still fires, though. I just can't tell what it does. So I had to relearn what it felt like to extend both my arms. And I've had some pec injuries after that surgery, which kind of stinks because of the front delt not sometimes accepting the right weight, and therefore it gets dumped into my chest, and my chest has gotten like a little bit like some micro tears in it. So that's something where it's a kind of a special case scenario. But if you are listening to this and you have an injury you're coming back from, and that's why you have a side-to-side discrepancy, then it's good to understand that you still need to work on the technique of your main lift. So whenever I was having trouble with my arm extending equal on both sides and feeling like I could really get my right side shoulder involved to avoid all those micro tears, it helped me a lot to do just a lot of repetitions of a barbell bench. So I remember I would lay down and I had to start at the bar. So I've had to start at the barbell on a bench press 3 times in my life due to various injuries. Blah. So, but I would start at the bar. I'd kind of do a couple presses with my eyes open, see if the bar was level. I'd close my eyes, do a couple presses, then open them and see if the bar was still level. I eventually started adding weight, you know, a 10 on each side, 20 on each side, 30 on each side. You know, it took me a while to get back up to a decent bench. But by the time I did, I could feel confident with the motion. So I went as quickly as I could recover, but the same with saying that, it was still a long freaking road. So if you are having big issues with the main lift, so the main lift is really weird, still use it, okay? Still do it so you get the technique down, but just go really light. Like I said, I started over at the bar bench pressing 3 times. And I can bench 435 now. That's my current max after all those injuries and having to start over a bajillion times. So you can still get strong. Just takes time. So that would be the idea. So you do these kind of isolation exercises. You can do them beforehand to kind of help with mind muscle connection, but typically they're done after your main work, and you still want to do your main lift, regardless of how light you have to do it. Okay, so now how do you progress these kind of supplemental exercises? Is you want to progress through strength. Since you want to get the muscle stronger, you want to progress through strength, not volume. So I wouldn't want to go up in reps every week. I wouldn't want to go up in volume. I actually want to go heavier and heavier weight. So if your volume goes up, fantastic, but it's how much weight load you can put on that muscle. If you can improve the amount of weight load, you'll get it stronger. So an example of this maybe is in week 1, I might have working sets of 30 seconds of time under tension, Week two, I would have working sets of 25 seconds of time under tension. So my time under tension has gone down, but that typically allows you to use a little more weight. Week three is sets of 20 seconds of time under tension, and week four would be 15 seconds of time under tension. So how you can kind of figure this out for yourself is to set a timer. And start the timer, start your working set, go nice and slow so you can feel the muscles actually working. Don't just try to do a million reps. So go slow, flex and stretch the muscle, really have a good mind-muscle connection. And when the 30-second timer goes off, whatever the reps you get, whether you get 10 reps, 15 reps, 20 reps, that becomes your rep range for that week. So you use that same weight, you do a couple more sets. Typically, we end up doing anywhere from 3 to 5 sets. If you really want to bring this up, I'd actually suggest you do like 5 to 6 maybe even sets. So I've done more, but that's usually special cases. So you want to get some good working sets in around that 30-second mark. And then next week, move up in weight, but allow yourself to drop down 1 or 2 reps. So you want to be able to progress up in weight used from week to week if you want that muscle to get stronger. Okay? It's very important. So you can also progress faster by picking main lifts that emphasize your known weakness. So for example, if your triceps are kind of different and you know they're a weakness, rather than doing regular bench press followed by a bunch of tricep stuff, you can do close grip bench press followed by a bunch of tricep stuff. So that close grip bench press is going to allow you to target more on the triceps, even more than normal, hopefully bring them up even faster than normal. Another example might be snatch grip deadlifts. So maybe doing those for a cycle while you're also working on your hamstrings. Snatch grip deadlifts are freaking horrible, but they're fantastic for working your upper back, your glutes, and your hamstrings. So you can kind of work that for 4 weeks as you're also working on your hamstrings. And then for squats, something I find helpful is doing box jumps before squatting. Because if you box jump, like if you jump unevenly through your legs, you're going to go flying to one side or the other. So if you do box jumps, very explosive, you know, max effort box jumps, that helps kind of fire off evenness in the hips and the legs. And then your squats are going to feel more even as well. So that's kind of a good little tip. So one of the questions we had was specific to doing isometrics or regular contractions. And as long as you have good mind-muscle connection, both schemes are okay. So I wouldn't say isometrics are 100% necessary. However, they're ridiculously helpful. They're very good to do. So one of the ways we kind of add them in is if I'm doing a set of, say, 10 reps on a cable row, I might pull the first rep back, hold it for 5 seconds, and really feel the muscles kind of clamp down and flex down. And then once I feel what the muscles feel like contracted, I would then go into my next remaining reps and look for that same feeling. So you can do an isometric hold on your very first rep, and that helps you signal, you know, which muscle should be firing. Then maybe the next program, next block, you can do an isometric hold on the last rep. So you're doing the first reps, you know, as good as you feel like you can. Then on the last one, you hold it for a little bit longer and make sure that it feels like it's the same muscles. If when you go into that hold, the weight's kind of shifting to different muscles, that's not good because that means you were probably using the wrong things. So that's a way to kind of check yourself. So doing an isometric hold on the first rep allows you to get an idea of what it should feel like. Doing an isometric hold on the last rep lets you know whether you did it right or not. So you can actually do them independent where you do first rep only or last rep only, or you can do it on the first rep and the last rep. So do a 5-count hold, do say 10 reps, then do a 5-count hold again. And that's a great way to add isometrics in. So the key is to do some variety. Make sure you're not doing the same thing all the time. So add them in, you know, first rep, one training block, last rep, one training block, maybe first and last rep, one training block, just kind of mix it up, okay? So the keys to bringing up side-to-side weaknesses is to isolate the weakness as much as possible. So for example, if your weakness is in like one tricep to the other, find every grip angle you can do on a cable press down, one arm cable press down, and find which grip angles create the larger discrepancy between the two arms, and then train those grips, okay? You want to isolate down as narrow as you can. So for example, with hamstring curls, maybe you don't find a big difference between a seated hamstring curl, but you do find a difference in a lying hamstring curl. Well, then obviously you work the lying hamstring curl even harder. So you want to isolate as specifically as possible into your weakness. Then you want to progress up in weight, not in volume. So if the volume goes up, awesome, whatever. But you want to make sure you put more weight load on that muscle week after week after week. Okay? Even if you have to decrease reps. And like we said, check your time under tensions. Your time under tension should be somewhere between 15 to 30 seconds. That's a rough ballpark. There's differences, blah, 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 blah. But if you stay in there, you're going to get some good results. Okay? So once a weight is so heavy you can't do it for 15 seconds, it's too heavy. Switch out the variation that you're using and start over again at 30-second sets. Okay? So maybe you switch over from underhand tricep press downs to maybe dumbbell skull crushers, and you start over your 30 seconds, progress down to 25, 20, and 15 seconds. Okay? So that would be the way to do it. And then also allow time. It takes time to build up these individual differences. So for example, if you do a 4-week block and you think that's going to set the world on fire and make everything even, absolutely probably not. typically, I would aim for, as a programmer, I would aim for anywhere from 8 to 16 weeks to see a difference. And it depends on how long the person has let the difference go and how advanced they are in their training and whether it was injury-related or just general use-related. Okay? So, with all that said, I am willing to help anybody if you're interested. So, it would be at a cost, I'm not going to lie. So if you want me to help you write a specific program, I'm happy to do so. I don't have to get involved. You don't need to hire me. But sometimes people in podcasts, we've gotten feedback where they'll listen to the podcast. They kind of like what's being said, but they're not sure how to put it all together. So if that's the case, reach out to us at our email, brutallarryandjim@gmail.com, and we'll help you with programming, okay? So I'll make sure it's a reasonable cost. I'm not going to charge you $1 million. But there is some charge to it because it takes me time to do it, and I have bills to pay and got to keep the lights on in here. So, but I do want to make that offer. So if you listen to this and you're having trouble putting it together, reach out to us and we'll help you. Okay. If we can help you with the first program, you'll probably get a good idea of the basics, the guidelines, the structure, and then you can build from there. Okay. So it just gives you a good, like a little bit of an easier head start into it. Okay. So hopefully this was helpful. Hopefully this answered the questions that you had. So if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Brutal Iron Gym. And if you like the podcast, please share it. The more people we help, the happier the world will be. And again, if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions for future podcasts, we'd love to hear from you. So I love being able to do podcasts that are directly related to listeners' questions. That way I know at least one person is being helped. So the more we hear from you, the better it is for us. Again, our email is brutallarryandjim@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.